Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to discuss a workplace dilemma, as we always do. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you want to leave a job, but you don't want to leave your coworkers behind?
Oh.
Yeah, our question comes from someone who was in a position and feels guilty about abandoning her colleagues.
Mm.
Then during the second segment of our podcast, we're going to explore the phenomena of survivor's guilt and how to manage it at work.
Oh boy, this is deep. Yeah. These are deep waters, right? This is one of those situations that is so complicated, but it feels complicated, I think, emotionally and then technically. And I sure do hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
So Logan, what's our question?
I've been working for a large media company for several years. We just went through a change in management, and all of our departments have been restructured. I now have 3 times the workload and 1/2 of the support staff that I used to have. At the same time, the new organizational structure makes no sense to me. I'm quickly becoming extremely burned out and disillusioned, and I know I should be looking for my next position. But I also have a very loyal group of employees who report to me, and I fear leaving them to be abused by their next boss. My staff have worked so hard on my behalf, and I feel incredibly guilty leaving them. Any advice for navigating this situation?
I've been in this situation. Mm. Have you? Have you ever been in it?
Yes. Not quite. I think more with coworkers, not the boss of people who I think are going to suffer if I leave. But tell me.
Mm. Well, I mean, I don't really want to tell the specific story, but just that I've been here, and I know that, you know, you make very close friendships.
Yes.
Yeah.
At work, and you know, you enjoy it. You go to work mostly sometimes for the people that you work with, not so much for the work, because work is work. But you know, no organization stays the same. Situations change all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you have to do what's right for your career. And maybe you can get a position where you can bring people. You can say, there's a lot of changes at my company, so I have some good people I'd like to bring. And I've seen that happen, where they'll take you and they may have some other openings for people that, you know, you're managing. If not, you can also encourage them to look.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you can't make it get better.
Right. Well, so I was looking at this from a almost like a heroic position, because I think the people who find themselves in this thing where they probably experience themselves as the leader and protector of their staff, and I've had several clients in this position, there are a number of, I think, internal processes you have to go through in order to do what you're suggesting, Kathy, which is correct. So the first is that once this kind of change happens, you have to accept that the company has changed and it's not going back to how it used to be. Your job won't be what it was. The department probably won't be what it, even if the top management comes to you and says, we really value you, the likelihood is that it's going to be what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the second thing that actually you have to do, because if you've got 3 times the workload and 1/2 the support staff, you are going to burn out very quickly, right? So usually when we find someone in this position, we first tell them to start taking care of themselves, even at the smallest ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third, and I thought you stated it very well, but it's like shifting your focus from abandoning them to leading them out of there.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to find it any big surprise that the situation has changed and you're moving on to better territory. And that, in a way, is sending them the right example.
Exactly.
By staying, what are you teaching them?
Right.
You know, we put up, we suffer. So... but I agree with you. You probably have to go through a couple of emotional, you know, you have to go through the process of realizing that that's the right thing to do.
And also not feel responsible for their horrible experience. You know, you didn't cause the change in management. Mm-hmm. You can't cure it. You definitely can't control it. And so if you realize, like, okay, I didn't cause this, and I, just as you're saying, I can model the next phase.
Yeah, it's not your responsibility.
Right.
If the organization has changed, to be responsible for how somebody handles the rest of their career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I sometimes think we get very tight with people when it is dysfunctional.
Yes.
Because that, then we need each other, and then we lean on each other, whether we're enjoying it or not enjoying it. But that's part mm-hmm. of what makes it tolerable.
Yes, and it can also mask your own
right.
fear of
yeah.
actually taking actions to make things better
right.
for your career. You know, taking actions to step out, to build your network. I worked with someone recently who, it turns out, she's an amazing leader and very outspoken, but she's very introverted.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thought of leaving the workplace
right.
where she knew everybody
yeah.
was terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, it is more terrifying for introverts mm-hmm. to know that they have to break out. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I've said this many times, so I'm going to repeat it for those of you that heard it, but I think your career, you know, there's the job and then there's your career.
Yeah. yeah.
And the career is the longer range, you
right.
know, picture of what you're doing. And it's just one job in your career.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we all have several jobs in our career. So if you could look at it that way and coach the people that work for you that,
yeah.
look, it was great while it lasted.
Mm. You know, it's interesting because you were asking if I experienced this, and I did years mm-hmm. ago experience a similar thing. And I think the thing that's hard is that the same thing that probably makes you a great employee, which is that you care deeply, can be a little bit of a liability when it's time to go. You know, it's like
yeah.
you have to stop caring.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stop caring about them and start caring about your next step and realize that that's better for the whole. It's like they say about when you're on an airplane, you lose oxygen, first pull your mask down,
right?
And take
right.
the oxygen and then help others. Same idea for your career.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hard one.
It is.
First time I heard that, I thought, are they crazy? And now at least I understand it now, and I
yeah.
would do that. But
right, because in some ways it's counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they use the example of a child. You know,
right.
make sure you put yours on before the child, and that, well, what?
Exactly.
But they're right. They're 100% right that in order to be the person who helps others, you have to help yourself first.
So there we
go. That's
have
it. There's nothing more to say. I mean,
that
I'm so sorry that you're in this situation.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
really, you know, to have a great job and a great community of people and then it all turn like that.
Yeah.
It's very, very disappointing, but it happens all the time.
Right. So we feel for you
yeah.
and we want you to get to a place internally where you can accept that this is where it is. Take care of yourself so that you don't burn out to a crisp, and now stay, and then start taking actions to shift from abandoning to leading your coworkers to the next better place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, tweet us at AskK2.
You can also text us at 22828 to get onto our email list and type in My Crazy Office. That's 22828. At My Crazy Office, and you can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office. We'll be right back.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. We thought we'd spend the second segment of our show talking about survivor's guilt at work.
Nice, light summer topic.
Yeah. So you can have survivor's guilt in many, many different ways. One,
absolutely.
If a lot of people are laid off, you know they're going to announce layoffs, so they restructure. And then, why didn't you go? You're
exactly,
still there.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that is a big one. A lot of people have guilt at that over that.
Right. Yeah, you can feel, I think survivor's guilt comes up at any point when you are not the target and other people are.
Right.
And so that can include actually if you watch someone getting heavily criticized by someone that seems to have targeted them, and but you don't get that criticism. As you said, getting laid off, but you don't get laid off. Even you could feel survivor's guilt if you get promoted and everyone else stays behind. And you can certainly get it, as we were talking about in this previous thing, for if you leave a situation, like somehow you got away and they did not.
Right.
So it can come in a lot of different ways.
Right. I've never experienced this. Usually not a survivor, I guess. Have either one of you?
Logan, do you think you have?
I don't think so. I've certainly gotten out of a few not ideal situations, but I don't know that I felt guilty for it.
Yeah.
Or if I did, for a very brief amount of time, and then on to the next healthier thing. So once you get through that initial, it's almost like ripping off a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, it hurts and it stings a little bit, but once you're on to the the healthier thing, puts it in perspective.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I experienced it a couple of times, one at a social human service organization where it was clear that the executive director was picking on one individual consistently, and I didn't know how to fight it. I didn't know what I could do on behalf of that person. And at the same time, I just felt, you know, we could all be sitting in a meeting together and then we leave. I would feel horrible.
Right. Icky.
Yeah. And then that same individual that would pick on this person would say something very complimentary to me. And then I feel even worse. Exactly.
Ew.
So you may experience this if you have that kind of a boss or a person in the workplace that's a comparer, you know, and has chosen one person that they're always going to put down and another person that they're always going to
elevate. I don't trust somebody like that because they're going to turn on you one day.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a pretty ugly behavior. Yeah, I can understand feeling guilty about that.
Yeah. So, and we've certainly talked to people who, you mentioned that first example where others have been laid off and you remain. And I think that part of dealing with survivor's guilt is actually not ignoring, but staying in contact with the people who you may feel were not treated fairly. You know, the tendency can be that we just want to avoid the whole thing. Oh, sorry that happened.
Yeah, right. My tendency would be to help them.
Yeah.
Give them references and help them, you know, network any way I could.
Yeah. So that's a great tendency. And I think that that's part of the thing is to take the part of you, the guilt that you're feeling, and see if there's something constructive that you can do towards the situation. In my case, ultimately, I just left that work situation. But I did write a letter to my boss's boss to just share my feelings about the treatment that had been happening to those other individuals.
I actually have gone to the person who's I thought was treated unfairly just to say I saw that.
Yes.
So that helps me feel as if, you know, I'm giving that person some dignity.
Yes.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't know what I can do. I don't think I can do anything, but I saw that.
Right.
So, you know, just showing some kindness to people that are targeted in the workplace.
That's a really good point, Kathy. And actually, in studies of bullying, the best antidote to one individual being bullied is for others to recognize it and stand by that person.
Yeah.
So even if it's doing it quietly, tacitly, it makes a big difference for the other individual.
Ugh.
Such awful. Jolly topics, really.
Yeah, but this is what goes on every day in the office. Yeah. We know this. Yeah. And I hear it a lot from my clients that work in large institutions. They're not going to leave the jobs. The jobs are really good, but there's a lot of behavior going on.
Yeah.
And I think the better you are to see it for what it is, you know, see, okay, that's just bad behavior. I am not going to get involved, you know, as best you can. And just remember, you know, you have to know who people are and what you can expect out of them or not expect out of them. good or bad.
Right. And the same for companies. I think we often feel betrayed by our company, and specifically if they lay off people that we really care about, you know, and you think that is disgusting. How could you do that? And yet the company is probably doing, is probably acting consistent to how it has in the past. It's just that now you're witnessing a form of behavior that you don't, that you find unsavory.
Yeah.
So that's it for this segment.
this happy topic.
If you have survivor's guilt, two things to do. One is to sit down and I would say write out, if you're willing, or talk to someone about it, what happened, how you're feeling about it, what you think may be your options in terms of addressing it or addressing the individual who you feel has remained in a hurt or damaged place. And then the second part of it is to continue with self-care, because witnessing poor treatment has a very stressful effect on us, just as much, not as much, but in a different way. But clearly, it stresses out the system, even if you're not the target. So that's it. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram. Review us on iTunes. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.